Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that we have been born again by the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, that your work is in us, spirit, soul and body. And that, Lord, you are at work in our lives and in this church. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. And Lord, we ask that this morning you continue to show us through your word about this very important area of the characteristics of born-again Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been learning about the characteristics of born-again Christians. There's many people that say, yes, I'm a Christian, but they don't show the characteristics of born-again Christians. You see, if you're a Christian, if you've been a born-again Christian, if you've been changed on the inside, you will be what the Bible calls a new creature. You will be a new creature. Your spirit is born of the Spirit, capital S, born of the Holy Ghost. Your spirit is born again. Of course, your soul and body are not born again, are they? And so they obviously have to go through a sanctification process. But clearly, when we're born again, something happens. And so therefore there will be changes in your life. And you will have what is known as a testimony. You'll be able to testify and say, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ at such and such a time. And from that time forward, my life changed. I have a new life in Christ. Have a look at John chapter 3. Our key text, John chapter 3. Look at verse 3 first of all. Now, these are verses, a lot of these scriptures I'm going through are scriptures you should know about, you should be able to explain to people about. It's not hard at all. And of course, you can always go back and listen to these sermons as well. John 3, verse 3, now Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's clear, isn't it? If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, the kingdom of God will be completely out of your life. But if you are born again, you come into the kingdom of God and you start to see everything that the kingdom of God has opened to it. Also go down to verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, obviously talking about the first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, is little spirit, little s spirit. So that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the second birth. Now, in order to get into the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to go through the second birth. And then verse 7 says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Notice the word must. It's not an option. And it's no use saying, I'm a Christian, and yet you've never been born again. Many people say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but They don't truly believe. It's just in name only. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. I know I'm going over these over and over again, but it must be emphasised, and this whole series is emphasising that if a person has been born again, they will be changed by the power of God. There will be a difference. There will be a difference. They won't want to be seeking to be conformed to the world. There'll be a difference. They'll be wanting to go God's way. God's way. And verse 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And there's a new way, a new life, the new life in Christ. You see, if there's no change, then where is the evidence that you're a new creature? Where is your witness? Where is your testimony? But we know that if you've been born again, you've been made into a new creature. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old longings for the world, that gets passed away. The old man is crucified with Christ. The old inner man is crucified with Christ. And you have a new man. A new man on the inside. Praise the Lord. We've gone through five characteristics of new creatures in Christ. First of all, the first one was no habitual sinning. Your desire will not be to sin. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian won't sin ever. But when you do sin, you go to your advocate with the Father. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask for cleansing and forgiveness and you're washed clean. You confess your sin to God. And you go forward and you continue on. You repent of that. You go forward. The second characteristic was you will believe that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, He is the only way in your life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The third characteristic is that you will be doing righteousness. He that is righteous does righteous things, righteous deeds. The fourth characteristic we went through was you will have a love for the brethren. And of course, a lack of love for the brethren is a major indicator that people are way away from Christ. And the fifth one that we looked at was you will be a world overcomer by faith. You will be a person of faith. You will walk by faith. Now, a lot of these things are very much underdeveloped in people, but if you're a new creature in Christ, you will have these characteristics in your life. And the sixth one we're looking at today is you will keep yourself pure from the world. Look at 1 John 5 verse 18, and we'll look at this sixth characteristic today. 1 John 5, we're looking at verse 18. Of course, if you're a born-again Christian, you're not trying to force these characteristics out of you, are they? They'll be a part of you already. Okay? This next characteristic we'll be looking at is very, very much a great indicator of who's really a Christian and who's not. Because, frankly, I think a lot of the modernist churches are filled with non-Christians. And you'll see what I mean as we go through this. Verse 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We've looked at that characteristic. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Keepeth himself from what? Okay, keepeth himself, and is primarily talking about the world, its influences, the ways of the world. And it says, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You see, the wicked one, the devil, will have access into people's lives if they get into a worldly state of mind, a worldly way of doing things, because the devil is what the Bible calls the god of this world, little g god, or spiritual ruler of this world. And you go into worldliness, you start to go into the curse, you start to touch things which will cause the curse to come into your life. Of course, we that are born again, we don't want to go the way of the world, do we? We don't want to go the way of the world, and we don't want the wicked one to touch us. Have a look at John 17, verses 14 to 17. So we're looking at this characteristic. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Keepeth himself. John 17, looking at verses 14 to 17. John 17, verses 14 to 17. Now, sanctification is a process which starts within you once you are born again, and is a process of you being separated from the world, separated from the ways of darkness. Starting from verse 14, says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, this is very, very important. What is your nature? Is your nature to be of the world or of Christ? It's very, very important for us to see this. If your nature is of the world, then you're not in Christ. But if your nature is of Christ, then you're not of the world, are you? I have given them thy word. Well, why has Christ given us God's word? Because God's word has power. And we should understand that if God's word has power, it has power to do something in your life. It has power to give you faith. It has power to cause your mind to be renewed, to think properly. It has power because it's called the sword of the Spirit. And if it comes out of your mouth, instead of doubt and unbelief, if your tongue is trained, sanctified, to speak the words of God, then what will happen? Power will be released in your life. So he says, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The world is not a neutral place. Okay, so it's important for us not to be worldly at all. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you see a theme coming through here? You should be able to see a theme coming through here. Jesus said they're not of the world. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, you're not of the world. That's why I'm so very much against compromise with the world. Very, very much against that. And notice what he says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So there must be power in God's word to sanctify you. You see the importance of that? Power in God's word to sanctify you, to separate you from thinking the ways of the world, from speaking the ways of the world, from acting the ways of the world. So you must be word people, not worldly people. So Christians by their nature will keep themselves from the world and from the world's ways. How do they do that? Well, their nature will be inclined towards the Word of God, because we are sanctified through God's Word, and God's Word is truth. Can everyone see that? It's important. That's why we have so much emphasis on the Word of God. And so, you know, yeah, we're in the world, we're not of the world, and the world all around us is shoving all types of wrong thinking and wrong words towards us. But you know, we have authority, we have control over what we say. God's not going to grab your tongue and make you say something. You've got to make a decision to say things in line with the Word of God. Very, very important. You've got to make a decision. I will act according to the Word of God. We are what the Bible calls children of obedience, or obedient children, not children of disobedience. Look at Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Now, we've looked at these scriptures many times before, but it bears looking at again, because if you're a born-again Christian, you will keep yourself. You'll keep yourself pure. You'll keep yourself from the ways of the world. You won't want to be conformed to the world. It will be within you now to be conforming to the image of Christ, be conforming to the ways of the kingdom of God. It'll be within you for that to happen. Okay? So it's important, therefore, to be around people who think and believe that same way, isn't it? It's important also to expose yourself to the right type of preaching. You don't want to expose yourself to unbelief or compromise with the world type stuff. And there's plenty of it out there. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says here. I beseech. Now the word beseech is very important. What does it mean? It's a strong urging, isn't it? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are you doing that? Well, you should be. You should say, I present my body, including my tongue, which is a little member, but the tongue is what the Bible calls a governor or a rudder. It'll steer your body. It'll control things in your body, etc. Now, you've got to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You don't want your body to be steered into going along to worldly places like nightclubs and pubs and so on, things like that. You want your body to be steered into going to godly places like the church and the prayer closet, etc. Verse 2. So there's the body. That's part of sanctification, isn't it? So what is your responsibility as a Christian? As a born-again Christian, you will be presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And you have to do that because your body wasn't born again. And when you were in the world, it was trained all the wrong ways. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. It's important, isn't it? Be not conformed to this world. Isn't that what we've been talking about? You keep yourself. You keep yourself from the world, from the ways of the world. Keep yourself pure. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so you see there's a lot in this section of Scripture. We've talked much about it. I want you to see here that now he's talking about the mind. Your mind wasn't born again when you were born again. It was only your spirit that was born again. And every one of us is made up of spirit, soul and body. So your soul, which is made up of your mind, will and emotions, there has to be a work happening in your soul. And here we see here, renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Now we know that. We know how the mind is renewed. There's many scriptures talk about us thinking on the right things. Okay? Thinking and meditating on the Word of God. Taking the Word into your heart and allowing that Word to be a part of your thinking. And this is what it means to be transformed. Transformed means change, doesn't it? Transformed completely by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want your mind thinking about the will of God, not the will of man. Okay, not what the world wants. You want what God wants. So here we see verses 1 and 2 talks about the two areas where sanctification has to happen in a Christian's life. And when you're born again, your spirit man will naturally, or I should say spiritually, want to go towards keeping yourself from the world and its ways. Okay, very important for us to see this. And so that sanctification process will be working as we expose ourselves to the Word of God. We'll be working on your body and working on your mind or your soul. Okay? And that's why we speak to our souls. We say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not? Well, that's talking about the mind, isn't it? Forget not all his benefits. So you see, the psalmist is talking to his soul. He's talking to his soul. He's saying, you don't forget. You don't forget the Word of God. You don't forget his benefits. You know? Where's the attack of the devil? He attacks in these areas, such as your mind. He wants to put thoughts of doubt and unbelief and worry and fear and all types of things into your mind, which are contrary to God's ways. So you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's part of keeping yourself. And the wicked one toucheth him not. Okay? So you don't want the wicked one touching you or your life? Then you must keep yourself. Because that is quite undeveloped in a lot of people and might still be there. They're trying to keep themselves, but it's undeveloped because they haven't had a lot of teaching about it. Okay? And there's quite a few people who are quite developed in it. Glory to God. Let's pray that this whole church is very developed in keeping ourselves and all the characteristics of born-again Christians. And the more and more you're developed in these characteristics, you know how a baby starts as a baby? Not fully, all the characteristics of a full-grown adult are there, but it's very undeveloped, isn't it? But you can grow and grow and grow, and of course the baby grows into an adult eventually, and they have all the characteristics of the adult, a human being. So we know that a person can be spiritually a baby, but very undeveloped in these things. Very undeveloped. We don't want to be like that. We want to be like Ephesians 4, which says, grow up in Christ. Grow up in Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's continue on. Let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. Now, we've talked a bit about sanctification. If you're saved, then the Lord is going to be working on you concerning your sanctification and your growing up. Now, we see here in 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16, we're now looking at the area of holiness. Now, holiness is very important to the Lord. Why? Because if sin is part of you, if filth of the world comes upon you, then you're not going to be reflecting the Lord in your life as He wants. Because holiness means you're not going to be speaking the ways of the world. You're not going to be thinking the ways of the world. You're not going to be acting according to the ways of the world or the course of this world, the Bible says. But you'll be going along the lines of God's ways, God's way of thinking, God's way of talking, etc. And so we look here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, says, as obedient children. Now that's important, isn't it? We are obedient children. Alright? Obedient children. Keep that in mind. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So you had former lusts. Former lusts. Former. Former means prior to a particular time. Former means prior to when you were born again. So what are you doing now? You're not fashioning yourself according to your former lusts in your ignorance. So the heathen, those without God, without Christ, those who aren't born again, many of them are going their lives in complete ignorance, aren't they? Ignorant of the spiritual, ignorant of the importance of God's word, ignorant of Christ. And they're just going along thinking, if it feels good, it's okay. You know, oh, why not redefine marriage? You know, and they think it's okay. They love one another, don't they? Well, they don't know what love is. Not biblical love. So we don't go along that way of fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in how much? All manner of conversation. And conversation means words and actions. Okay? Be ye holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, it's not a matter of forcing yourself to be holy. It's a matter of yielding yourself to the Lord. And the more you yield yourself to the Lord, the more he's able to work in and with you. Can you see what I'm saying here? If you resist the Lord, if you make justification for wrong things and so on, you're going to remain in a very undeveloped way, in a very undeveloped way in this whole area of sanctification and growth. But obviously, it's got to be there, because he that's begotten of God keepeth himself. You keep yourself. You keep yourself from the world. You keep yourself pure. So be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what the Lord says. Be holy, for I am holy. Praise the Lord. And the Bible's clear there. Be holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation being your words and your actions. God is making it clear here that you're not to fashion yourself according to the former lust. Obviously, don't be conformed to the world. You know, you can claim ignorance prior to being born again. And certainly before I was witness to about Christ, there were many things I was doing which I had no idea of what it was leading to. But now that we're in Christ, we understand more through his word. Praise the Lord. And Jesus made it clear about the word of God being, it says, he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. He made it clear that the word of God and sanctification go hand in hand. James chapter 1, verse 26. I'll go through another couple of scriptures. James 1, verse 26. This is the last part of this characteristics of born again Christians I'll be doing. I'll be going through another series coming up called Put on the New Man. It sounds exciting, doesn't it? Put on the new man. Well, that comes straight out of the scripture. Put ye on the new man. Glory to God. And of course, that's related to what I've been talking about even today. James 1, verse 26. Now, we've been looking at keeping ourselves. A major characteristic of born-again Christians is that they'll keep themselves. They'll keep themselves pure, and the wicked one will touch them not. You might say, well, I knew such and such, and he was touched, and all types of things happened to him. What happened there? Well, look, we're not walking his walk, are we? We walk our own walk. We don't know what's happened in that person's life. We don't know what they're doing behind the scenes either. What we have to do is take responsibility for what we're doing in our lives. Praise the Lord. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to what? Keep himself unspotted from the world. So, if you're a born-again Christian, you'll be keeping yourself. And here we see you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Let me emphasize that again. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. What do we see today in a lot of compromised Christian circles? We see compromise with the world, don't we? We see people thinking, oh, it's okay to go on Australian Idol, even though the scripture says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep away from it. Oh, but it's only a word. Keep yourself from idols. What does the word of God say, not the word of man? I don't care what your opinion is. I care what the word of God says. Etc., etc., etc. We could go on and on about all the types of compromises that are happening. What we want to see is that the word of God is very clear. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. You see, there's all types of filth that the world is putting out. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now notice it talks about pure religion. It talks about being religious. Don't believe anyone that says, I don't have a religion or follow a religion. I only follow Christ. If you follow Christ, you follow the pure religion. It's as simple as that, because the Bible talks about the pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. You can't say you're not religious. It is unbiblical to say that you're not religious. We are religious, but we're of the pure religion. It's as simple as that. There is the impure religion and there is the pure religion according to the word of God. And notice what it says in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, this is a major part of the sanctification process, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Is there a connection between you keeping yourself unspotted from the world, having the pure religion, and making sure that your tongue is bridled? For sure, your tongue has to be bridled. Your tongue has to... The Bible says death and life is in the power of your tongue. You have to get your mouth lined up with the word of God. It has to be. It has to be lined up with the word of God. So that your religious... or your pure religion in your life, your way of operating in faith, is going to be one of being unspotted from the world. There's a lot more we'll talk about on that when we go into the Put on the New Man series. Look at chapter 3 of James, verses 2 to 6. Chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. And we'll finish with this section here. And once again, you can see here part of how do we get our bodies so that our bodies are sanctified before the Lord. Well, remember what we said before. We quoted from Romans 12 verse 1, which was to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? And that includes the little member, the tongue. Just want to read this section. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So is there a connection between you bridling your body? And that of course relates to things like health, etc. Bridling your body and what you're saying in word. Well, surely there is. Verse 3 says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So the bit is like a rudder or a turning device. You go over here, horse, and the horse goes over there. Or you go over there, goes over there. I've only ridden horses a couple of times. There might be people here who've ridden them many times and you would know it better than me. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or rudder listeth or takes it. So we can see here that the rudder of a ship, it's a small thing, but it turns the whole ship around. You turn that rudder and it'll go round. Okay? Even so, or in just the same manner, that's what he's saying in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member. It's a little rudder, a little governor. Okay? A little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And he goes into the negative side of the tongue. But of course, there's a positive side of the tongue as well. which will cause strength to be in your body, etc., etc., and keep your body whole. Well, we've been looking at characteristics of born-again Christians. I would expect now that you would know somewhat about this whole area. I suggest you get the sermon series and listen to it again. It'll be on the web as well. So it's something for us to take hold of and understand that just because someone says they're a Christian, it doesn't mean they are. If you're a new creature in Christ, then there has to be new features. There has to be new characteristics. Okay? And we've been looking at those over these last six sermons. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We know that you have done a great work in our lives, and we praise you for that. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not been a small thing that you have sent him. He is our wonderful Master, our wonderful Saviour. And Lord, we ask that our witness, our testimony, will be great in this city. That every one of us will have a testimony of just how much the Lord has done for us and is doing for us even now, and is taking us into the future, into great things. Lord, I ask every person here be blessed who has heard the word and received it. In Jesus' name, amen.